All right, we'll open with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for the Millers. Thank you for their family. Thank you for all the friends and all that. And I pray, Lord, that what's said here today would be a blessing to everybody. Help us to just take what we hear and use it to do a better job for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. People that have suffered through, I guess what you call PTSD, PSDT, whatever that thing is, that acronym, post-traumatic stress disorder, they have what you call triggers. And something will happen, maybe a loud sound, you know, a lot of times they're coming back from war. There's these things that will trigger like a, you know, it'll basically bring them right back to that traumatic experience that, and it'll just like paralyze them a lot of times. And it's just dealing with that would be tough with anybody. But I got to thinking about it. A trigger doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing. A trigger can be a good thing. You can have things that would trigger, you know, a good memory. I was thinking of, like, recently I went back to New Hampshire to visit my mom and stuff and see her. And it was a really fun trip. A lot of flood of memories came back, stuff that I saw that I hadn't seen in almost 30 years. First job that I had, the first place I worked, some of the things, and I came across something, and it reminded me every time I see or if I smell pine needles or see like a pine tree with a lot of pine needles in the ground, it instantly brings me back to a place called Stebbins Pond in New Hampshire, and it's this little place where we called her Meme and Pepe, which is like Grandma, Grandpa, but they actually weren't our grandparents. They were, so I don't even know how they were related to us, but they kind of like adopted me as a grandchild because both my grandparents are all of them were dead. So I never got to meet them. So they were kind of like my fill-in grandparents, like growing up. So it was always happy memories and good memories with them, and it was always kind of neat. So, but I thought, you know, that's one of those triggers. If I you know, even like see like a pine tree, that just my memory just instantly goes right back there, and that's a good thing. That's a good memory. There was a hymn, I guess it's a hymn, but it's a song, a Christian song, How Beautiful. And when I hear that, if I think of that, it brings me back to our wedding day when I saw the most beautiful woman in the world.
Look at me now.
Oh my gosh. Still there. See? Yeah. Still. When I hear the word midget,
oh, dude,
my memory goes back to our first anniversary down in Branson, Missouri. We're getting ready to go out to dinner we were on our first anniversary, and I'm waiting, and I turned the TV on, and they had a documentary on midgets. And it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I'm laughing so hard I can barely breathe. And Pam's like trying to get ready. She's like, what are you watching out there? I mean, it was just hilarious. It was just really, really funny.
You had to be there. Yeah.
And the reason I say all this is because our biggest problem as Christians, and this is where it gets serious, I guess, or not really serious, but our biggest problem is a faulty memory. The greatest revival that you've ever experienced in your life, as soon as you say that final amen, you start to decline. You start to slip back into your old ways. I don't care how great a revival it was. And think about it. Run through the Bible. Look at some of the things that Israel saw. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the fire come down on Mount Sinai. And how much along the way, a year or two later, and they're ready to turn around and go back to Egypt. You're like, how does that happen? Well, here's the simple explanation. Look at your own life, and how does it happen in your life? We forget. We have that faulty memory. So the first thing, and so I recommend that you make yourself some spiritual triggers. And what it'll do, it'll trigger reflection. It'll trigger examination. It'll trigger consideration, where you stop and you have, I guess, to use something I said yesterday, that halt upon your thigh moment, where you stop and think back. And so the first, I've got four verses I want to give you, and then we'll be done. First one is Deuteronomy 6:12. And it's honestly, it's not even the whole verse. It's just, it's kind of the theme of this whole thing, though. It's four words. If you ever want to do a devotion or a thing, you ask, like, last night, how do you come up, or some, whenever it was, but you ask, like, you know, how do you come up with this? I try to look, even in a verse, I try and look at just something that I can take away. Every time, every day you get up and read your Bible, try to look at something. Pray for it. Pray for something that you can take away, that you can take and carry with you the rest of your life, really, but at least for the rest of the day, throughout the day, that'll keep you focused. So the four words here are, beware lest thou forget. I was reading through the Bible and I hit Deuteronomy 6:12 and he said, I think, but, I don't even remember what the first word in the verse was, but he said, beware lest thou forget. And that just jumped out at me. I'm like, that's it, isn't it? Man, we forget so quickly. We just forget. Because and as soon as it hit me, I got to thinking about it and I was like, man, you know, I remember going to, like, camp this one time. It was a great revival, and we went to camp another time, and there we had some good preaching. I've heard some amazing Sunday morning messages that have just really, you know, nailed your hide to the wall. I hope we've all heard those. What happened between then and now? We've forgotten some things. We've forgotten to remember. And so we must be reminded to remember. And that sounds goofy, but that's exactly what it is. We got to remind ourselves to remember. Remembering is one of our infirmities. If you want a verse, it's Psalm 77, 10 and 11. So that's the first verse. The second one is Psalms 27:14, and that says, wait on the Lord. The whole verse, I think it says, wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, I think is how the whole verse goes. But wait on the Lord. And that's one of those things that just, I can't speak for anyone else. I know for me, so many times, so many problems, so many lifelong regrets have been caused in my life by a knee-jerk reaction. Instead of stopping and processing it, instead of stopping and praying about it, you just react. And how many regrets have I had to endure and deal with because I didn't wait on the Lord? Just a simple little thing. It's one of those, it's a spiritual trigger. Wait on the Lord. And these are things that you could just sit there and just start every day with. Okay, beware lest thou forget. That's a good one. Yeah, I got to remember that. Lord, help me not to forget. Okay, Lord, help me to wait. And then the third one is Philippians 3:10. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And it's five words this time. It's that I may know him. That's how the verse starts. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. And those words, that I may know him, imply the intimate relationship that you ought to be wanting to have with Jesus Christ, and that even if you don't, he wants to have that intimate relationship with you. And this is what I call the Holy of Holies. This is the most sacred place in your heart that must be dedicated, must be sanctified unto him. There's got to be that, and really it's your whole heart, but, you know, that's another message. But just taking that time and saying, Lord, no, you're worthy of this. This has got to be yours. This heart, I'm going to dedicate this to you. That's got to be that spiritual trigger that reminds you, that brings you back to that place that, you know what, there was a time in my life, I think, where I was closer to God than right now. Lord, help me to get back there. So it's just one of those little spiritual triggers. And the last one, and you can flip in your Bibles, I'm going to read the whole verse on this one. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And familiar verse, I think, for all you guys all have this memorized, and I'm sure. And it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. I can't see. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And yet, how many times I've read that verse and thought, well, man, there's some times where, you know, it doesn't seem so easy, and there's other times where it doesn't seem so light. It seems like a heavy burden. It seems like it's, you know, I'm falling apart. And that this is why this is one of those spiritual triggers. If it's too heavy, it's because, one, you're carrying something that you should not be carrying. I know that's not good English, but it is good communication. The second thing is you're carrying something that you should have given to the Lord a long time ago. You're probably carrying something that you probably should have just let go of. Or you're probably carrying something that you forgot to give to God. That's what makes it easy and light. Because you give it to God and let Him have it. Or you just let go of it because it's not worth carrying. So that's all I got. I hope that was a blessing for you. It's just, I want you in your lives to take these things, and every time you hear some blistering sermon that just nails your hide to the wall and like well received, it's one of those that, thank God, I really needed that. Make a note of it somewhere. Make a running list of triggers that, here's my spiritual triggers, and I'm going to make these, and I'm going to read these every day of my life for the rest of my life so I never forget that. This, write down the date. Hey, on this such and such date. And that way, here's the good thing. If you write the date down and you're like, man, I want to hear that sermon again, it's a whole easier to find it because you wrote the date down. So that's all I got. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you again for the Millers and all their friends and family and the 6 billion people that they're related to up here. We thank you for them, and we pray, Lord, that help them, Lord, to be open up doors of utterance and opportunities to preach the gospel, to minister to people. Let them be that light that shines in this in a dark place. And this world is dark and getting darker every day. But Lord, help each one of us, Lord, to be that shining light that shines until the day of the Lord. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.